You're listening to Scratching and Thriving Podcast on Exposure TV Network. I'm Dr. A, an educator and entrepreneur.
And I'm Brandon, a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru. And we are two longtime friends who are passionate professionals committed to empowering people to thrive both professionally and personally.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Scratching and Thriving Podcast. I am Brandon, here with Dr. A and Mr. Devin Crutcher.
How you guys doing?
Welcome, Mr. Crutcher.
Thank you, sir.
Tana, tell the audience a little bit about you.
About me. I am a R&B artist, born and raised in Memphis. I'm a stacked baby, meaning that I am a descendant of a Stax legend, I guess you would call her. She was a songwriter. She's my grandmother, Betty Crutcher. She wrote a lot of songs for Stax. Like she wrote Who's Making Love by Johnny Taylor. Actually, I got her the album, the gold album in my home.
Nice.
So that, I mean, also, as far as with me as an artist, I am a new member of the Bar K's. I sing
the legendary Bar K's.
The legendary Bar K's. Personally, on my own, I was featured on Making a Band with Diddy. I was on that in 2008, I think. The Making a Band with Day 26. So I was almost a part of that. As far as me singing, I've been in the streets for probably about 15 years now. So rocking, being on stage and putting in work, man.
So how was it growing up in Memphis for you? Now, I'm a native Memphian as well.
Man, I love Memphis.
I do too.
North Memphis. So I love it, man. I mean, things have changed. I mean, crime is crime and it's going to be everywhere. So I always tell people, it depends on you, how you are in your life. You know what I'm saying? Like if you are negative will come to you. But if you are moving in a positive light, you will only see the good sides of Memphis. So me personally, I've only seen amazing things. I love my city.
Yeah, I saw it go from this small Memphis town to what it is now. And now it's like one of the number one cities for millennials.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I saw that in a Times article, as a matter of fact.
Yep. Time magazine, yep.
Yes, sir.
So I want to ask you a question about your experience with your grandma growing up, her being a legend. How did that influence your music and how did that prepare you for this career that you had?
Honestly, she did not want me to be a singer. Yes, she wanted me to stay out of it. If I could, she would want me to be a writer compared to an actual artist, because if you know, writers make the most money out of the actual artist. So she wanted me to do that instead of actual singing. Whereas I can write, but I can't write on her level. Like, even though she was cold with it, I can write, but I have more fun on stage. Mm-hmm. So with that, you know, she's 100% supportive of everything I do. But at that time, she was like, baby, I want you to be a writer. I would rather you write than sing, but mm-hmm. I see you got the talent. I see it's what you want to do, so I'm behind you 100%. And with her being who she is and the people I would say she knows, she has introduced me to a lot of the old Stax greats, to whereas at any time I can call William Beale or Albert Beale, like pretty much anyone who is on Stax, I have access to. It's like even Jim Stewart, who is the original owner, he's my godfather. So I can go to him and hear, I mean, like, all the old stories about Stacks, like who he almost signed, who he didn't like, or, you know what I'm saying, like, so on and so forth. So having her has been a great asset to me.
So you're part of the legendary Barcades, right?
Yes, sir.
How did that happen? Tell us about that.
James, who is the only surviving member, he heard me at a show one day and was like, hey man, you got some chops. You know, I'm considering putting you inside the band. And I was like, you know, I'm always open to it. And I got that call one day. He was like, hey, I want you to be a part of it. So I went, and I've only been singing with them for probably 6 months now. Mm-hmm. And I love every minute of it. Like, I love the whole band. Like, we have fun. Like, they my brothers right now. So I love them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
So you own the band Four, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So tell us about, first of all, tell us how you got there. What made you decide to go that route? And how was the experience?
Man, how I ended up being on there was, it's crazy the story that actually happened. I didn't want to do it because I actually tried out for American Idol. And okay. It was some BS, you know what I'm saying? Because before you even see Paula and all of them, you got to pass like three other rounds. So okay. I was on there, I had sung, I smashed. I'm like, I get everybody, yeah. And then there was a dude standing beside me in a clown outfit. And it was like, you in the outfit, you made it. We was like, so after that, I was like, you know what? All these competitions is some crap. So I was like, you know what? I'm not doing it. And I have a cousin of mine who called me. It was like, hey, I heard that Diddy's having some competitions in the city. So I'm like, I don't want to do it. Then she kind of begged me to do it. And I went try it out and I actually made it. Being a part of it was amazing because I was hands-on with Diddy. Like, I was able to actually sit down, talk to him, pick his brain. And being on that show, I met a lot of legends. Like, I met Joe, Michael Bivins, Slam, like, pretty much everyone who was on Bad Boy's staff at that time, I had the access to actually meet them. So being on the show is actually cool. I'm a loner, so to be in a house with 25 other people was weird. It was weird. It was. Man, 25 people, you don't know who they are, never met them before, and you got to sleep beside them. It was weird for me, bro, but I enjoyed everything of it, man. I ain't lying, bro.
Man, yeah, out there.
It was fun, bro. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was strange, bro. And I'm from North Memphis, so you round cats from New York, Florida, and mm-hmm. all of them got their little weird ways, and I'm like, bro, so, hey, man, it was different, you know, but it was cool, though. I enjoyed it.
That's awesome. So what happened after that? After you were no longer on Making the Band, where did you go? What did you do? Where did life take you?
After that, okay, so the downside of being on that show is, if you make it or if you don't make it, you're assigned to Bad Boy for 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was officially a Bad Boy artist for 5 years. So I couldn't sign with any other label during that time, even though I wasn't a part of Day 26. It's like he pretty much still had his hands on me. So I had opportunities to get signed with other labels, but they saw that contract was like, we can't do anything until you off the contract. And then after the contract, the buzz is gone. So it's like I had to start all the way back over. So as soon as I came home, I started to get bigger gigs. Like, people started calling me, hey, I'm gonna start using you on my shows. And I started to make money. Then I was like, hey, doing this singing thing could actually work out. So after that is when I decided, you know what, I'm gonna make this a living. So after that, because I think my first big show was, I had to open up for Dave Hollister, Jamie Foxx, and Fantasia.
Okay.
So after that, I was like, this is where I want to be.
What were you doing before you got, you decided to make this a living?
Working, man. Warehouse. FedEx. I was no slanging boxes. Yeah. So the typical Mifflin. I was at FedEx. I was just working, man. And then I'm gonna tell you what actually got me started was karaoke. I used to go to Bill Street on at Wet Willie's.
So I was say 10 Roots. Started.
Yeah, man. I actually started singing at Wet Willie's.
Okay.
So a little fun fact about me and karaoke.
Oh, Lord. Let's go.
Is I am like the karaoke queen.
Come on up in here now.
Okay. Now, yeah. I can't sing, but I will get up on that stage and child, you wouldn't know it. I love karaoke. It's amazing.
Oh, you know it.
Oh, you stupid.
Ignorant.
Oh, you know.
Ignorant.
You know. But honestly, I tell every artist who I try and help out, because ever since I've been doing this, I've been kind of reaching out to younger artists. I always tell them, if you want to start singing, start with karaoke. Because if you head there first and you sing, you can start to get comfortable singing in front of people. Because a lot of people don't know how to actually sing in front of people. So singing there, no one expects you to be able to sing. So if you go up there and you crack a little, it's not going to be harsh judgment compared to you being on stage. Now I'm paid to come see you and you cracking. So if you head there first, get comfortable on stage, figure out your best songs, then you can start, okay, I can maneuver on to a higher level. So I tell everybody, man, if you want to learn how to perform and to be a singer, start with karaoke.
It's true. That's good advice.
Yeah, man, that's how I got there, man.
So you are, I know you talked about not, you know, being a writer, but you are a man of many talents. Yes, ma'am. What inspires and motivates you on a daily basis? What gets you going?
God. Because especially right now, man, life is short. So you got to appreciate every moment, every opportunity that you have. Every day you wake up, it's a brand new mercy. So you got to find a way to be creative within that. So with me, that's how I do. I wake up, then it's love. I love love. So extremely passionate. So anything that is just, you know, sometimes I can be talking to a person and then you can end up saying something like, that could be a good song. Then I come home, jot some down. So that's how I get a lot of my inspiration.
So since your grandmother was a big time Stax writer.
Okay.
So you've been exposed to a lot of the different journey that R&B has taken.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, the original Stax, when you talk about the Staple Singers,
yeah,
the Soul Sisters, all of those people. What do you think about the state of R&B music right now?
I think it's in a good place, but it's not where it's supposed to be or should be compared to the older days. I still think songs from back then have better content, because right now, I mean, even though me as a singer, songwriter now, a lot of things are sexual, because right now that's what sells. So if you look back in the Dramatics or Temptations, it was talking about love, you know what I'm saying, like real love and how to treat a woman, how to love somebody. Right now it's pretty much about, I just want to you know what I'm saying, smack that thing and flip and push you on, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or, and then rap has pretty much taken over, especially mm-hmm. the radio waves. So right now it's kind of, I hate to say it, it's like hard to be an R&B artist right now and to be heard, because mm-hmm. if you're not already a top artist right now, it's kind of hard to be heard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can might slide a song in, but to get that major radio play is very difficult. Like, if you're not Tank or Chris Brown or somebody like that, it's extremely hard to get that radio play in that true exposure.
What can we expect from Devin Crutcher in the future?
Right now, I am working on my album. I think it's going to be dope. I think I'm going to really surprise a lot of the cats here as far as in the city, because a lot of the singers here are pretty much Southern soul. Like, they got that kind of bop to it, to whereas the sound I have is more of a, how can I put it? I'm still neo soul. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a huge fan of D'Angelo and Anthony Hamilton. So the sound I have is around that. So, but I have an album that's coming out probably in the spring, because I'm almost finished with it. So it'll be out real soon. And I'm gonna give you guys the first copy, because I want y'all to hear it and tell me what y'all think about it.
But
I think
we'll let you know too. Yes.
Especially you. I know you. I can see it already. No, man, I don't like this number two. Track number two, whack, bro.
He will throw you under the bus.
Real quick. Mm-hmm. But I rock with it, though. I rock with it. But yeah, man, I'm working on an album. I think it's going to be very dope. And I think people are going to really enjoy it.
So and it's springtime.
That's spring. Yes, sir.
All right.
Nice. So we like to ask all of our guests, so this show is Scratching and Thriving, and we started it really so we could inspire people to move and to thrive in whatever industry or field that they're in. So what advice do you have for up-and-coming artists, writers, musicians, so that they can kind of thrive in this industry as well?
The main thing I would tell anybody is never give up. If this is your passion and your dream, you have to keep pushing, because it's going to be some bumps in the road. There's going to be some ups and downs, but you have to believe in yourself and you got to keep pushing. You have to keep trying to get to that level that you feel like you should be at, because you don't have some haters. You don't have some folks say, I don't think you can sing well. I don't think you can perform well. You can do something, but you have to ignore that or take that and build it as motivation to do better and to do more. So I will always tell anybody, if you love it, don't give up. Don't give up. That's the main thing.
Great advice. Great advice.
Thank you guys, man.
All right, Mr. Crutcher. It was fantastic.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.